I've been struggling all day. I told Brother Trout, I don't know if it's from trying to choke back tears all afternoon or if it's from allergies, but I've got a lump in my throat that's been killing me all afternoon. It's just sitting right in there, and I have a feeling it's more from trying to choke back tears than anything, but not 100% sure, but it makes it difficult to speak, so I'm going to be quick tonight. I also know somebody told me there's a Pens game on tonight, and that's important to some people, I guess. There's a few people interested in that. It starts at 8, so I promised that people would be able to get out, get food, and get home in time to see the game. So, just strap on your seatbelts. It's going to be a fun ride. John chapter 15, we're going to reread what we started reading this morning, just to kind of refresh our mind and our memory on what the message started out as this morning. It says in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for yet another opportunity, Lord, to gather together, to fellowship with one another, Lord, to give back to you, Lord, to just be part of services worshiping you. But most importantly, for this opportunity to hear from your word, to hear a message from on high. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross again tonight. Lord, that your name would be high and lifted up. Lord, that they would see you. Lord, place me behind you. Help your message to come through, not what I have to say, not things that I have written down, Lord, but the message that you would have to be brought forth would help those words to be spoken, would help lives to be changed, help us to become more like you, to be branches, more like the vine each and every day. We'll give you all the honor and glory for it. In your precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. This morning, I talked to you a little bit about the idea of the fruit and the orchard and the garden and how particular I am. And I know some of you probably are. But we talked about a garden that I used to have and how we tried to make nice, neat rows out of everything and tried to make it look very beautiful. And we tried to compare that maybe to the church a little bit here and how we're all so different. We all bring different things to the table. We all have certain circumstances and different circumstances that have brought us here. But we're all part of this great big garden that is Bible Baptist Church. And each and every one of you sitting here tonight, probably core people of the church is what we would say, since you're here on a Sunday night, you're all bringing something different and something beautiful to make such a picture-perfect garden in God's eyes here at the church. But we can't just stop there. We know we must bear more fruit. The Bible talks over and over again about bearing much fruit and more fruit. And it's important that we as Christians don't settle for where we're at, but we continue to try and produce good fruit. And so we started talking about it this morning, and we talked about the source of the fruit being the true vine, or Jesus Christ. We said the source of the fruit will bring clean fruit. And we talked about how our fruit should be based on none other but Jesus Christ. When our motives become about what serves us, when our motives become about what makes us happy, we bring forth rotten fruit. And it's important that Jesus Christ is the center and the source of our fruit, because that's what brings forth clean fruit or usable, good, valuable fruit. The source brings forth common fruit. We talked about the grape arbor and how it's one main vine and then branches off. And sometimes my neighbor's is about 12 foot by 12 foot square. It's massive. But it all comes down to one main vine. And all that tangled mess that we are as Christians, as different as we come, as odd as we are sometimes, like Richie, as weird as we are, like Ryan Zitterbart, as much as we bring to the table different as Christians, we can all work together in unity because we have a common vine, a common source. And that is the only way we can work together in unity. If it were not for working together for Jesus Christ, because we are different and we have different personalities and we're not going to all get along based on our personalities, the only way we can get along is based on having a common source that is Jesus Christ. So if we're going to get anything done whatsoever and produce any good fruit, it has to be because of Jesus Christ. He has to be the source of that fruit. And then we talked about the consistency or the constant fruit being around, constantly abiding in Him. So when harvest time comes, we get to experience that fruit and reaping what we have worked so hard to sow for Jesus Christ. And then the last point this morning that we started talking about was the compassionate fruit. The source brings compassionate fruit. And this is kind of the point that's going to tie into the second point of the message tonight. And it's going to take a few minutes to set it up, but it's very quick and easy if you just follow just for a few minutes. We talked about the source bringing compassionate fruit. And we started talking about love. It talks in this passage about love and how love is kind of, we compared it to tree sap. So tree sap takes the nutrients and the water from the main vine to the branches and from the branches to the fruit. That is love in the Christian life. It takes Jesus Christ and the nutrient and the water that Jesus Christ is, passes it through us as Christians, and that's what produces the fruit. So truly we need compassionate fruit as good fruit as Christians. We asked, what kind of fruit are we bearing in our lives right now? Is it good fruit? Is it compassionate fruit? Is the source of that fruit Jesus Christ? I'm just going to kind of continue along those lines tonight and add a little bit to it and then ask you one more question and we'll go see the Pens game. First of all, we talked about the source of the fruit being Jesus Christ. The second point I want to give you tonight is the sorts of the fruit. What is good fruit? When I say that phrase, what comes to your mind? And I'm going to use Brother Dwayne's Socratic method of teaching from Sunday school. And I want to get some feedback. Whenever I say we should bring forth good fruit, what is it that comes to your mind? What is good fruit in the Christian life? Soul winning? Probably the most common answer in Christianity. When you think about good fruit and producing good fruit, you think about fruit being reproduced. And so you think about reproducing other Christians. Probably the most common answer when it comes to bearing fruit. What else? What else can you think of that would be producing good fruit? Character? How we display ourselves? Love? What we've talked about? What is good fruit? Training others. I'll give you a hint. It's in the passage of Scripture where I'm going with this. Brother Ryan? Obedience. Obedience. If you look in this passage, it's very consistent. He says verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continuing my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. There are many things, actually, that could be good fruit. The sorts of good fruit is almost endless. Yes, soul winning is one, because that is one command that we're given as Christians. It is our job to go out and soul winning. But do you realize that tithing can be good fruit as well? We're commanded to tithe, so obeying and tithing would produce good fruit. Based on this passage of Scripture, it's love that makes the fruit. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. It's love that's producing the fruit through Jesus Christ. by keeping His commandments. So any command that He gives could actually be translated into good fruit. Sometimes we get caught up as Christians that we have to be soul winning to produce good fruit. That is part of producing good fruit, but it's not all of it. How about church attendance? I realize Sunday night crowd, not much of an issue here. But producing good fruit comes from church attendance. That is a good fruit that we're producing. Sometimes we don't always see it that way, but it is a good fruit. I put, it's every word done out of love through Jesus Christ that He tells us to do. Serving in the church. If you feel God has told you to serve in a ministry and you serve in that ministry, you're producing good fruit. If you are supposed to attend a particular church activity and you go, you're producing good fruit. There are many ways of just obeying what God tells you to do, and that is what is producing good fruit. But the key is this. It's not just doing it. It's doing it out of love for Jesus Christ. So example, tithing. For an example, God tells us that if we don't tithe, that He actually, in Malachi, He says there's a curse that gets placed on your life. So that's bad. But you realize that if you're tithing out of duty just because you have to, it's just as bad. Because you're not doing it out of love for Jesus Christ. If you want the good fruit, that's why God loves a cheerful giver. Because it should be done out of love for Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight because you feel like you have to be here tonight, rotten fruit. If you're here because you love Jesus Christ and want to be here for Him, good fruit. Everything in life that you're commanded to do becomes good fruit out of love for Jesus Christ. But only out of love for Jesus Christ. If you go in your Bibles, and I'm not going to turn there because I promise you I wouldn't keep you alone tonight, and I'm going to keep that promise. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, famously known as the love chapter or the charity chapter in the Bible, what does it say? If I do the greatest possible things in the world but don't do it out of love, it is nothing. There's no good fruit to be had. See, good fruit, yes, should be soul winning. But it should also be tithing and should be church attendance and should be any other thing that you feel God has told you to do. That's what brings forth good fruit. I was thinking about it, even community care this Tuesday. What an opportunity to produce good fruit. We get to go out. We get to follow up with people in the community who have been hurting. Hurting individuals like we have right here in our church family. And we get to go out and we get to pray with them yet again. And follow up with some visits. And sometimes we get to make new visits. And gather more prayer requests and pray for our community. What an opportunity to produce good fruit. But let me just say, if you're here out of duty, you're better off not being here. Now, I would hope that doesn't deter you from coming. I hope that your love for Jesus makes you want to be here. I feel like I have to be here because I love Jesus so much, I don't want to miss it. It's my opportunity to tell others about Him, the true vine, the place where I can find peace and happiness and joy in my life. I can't help but try and tell people, the one that answers my prayers. Stepping on toes. Maybe we don't like to come to community care because we don't pray and see answers to our own prayers, let alone to want to pray for somebody else. If you have a God that answers your prayers, you want to tell people about Him.
Amen.
You want to go out there and you want to be praying for others. You want to make it part of your life. You want to produce good fruit. It can be any sort of fruit. But it has to be done because we're obeying what we're told to do out of love for Jesus Christ. We've talked about the source of the fruit and the sorts of the fruit. And the last point I'm going to give you is the seriousness of the fruit. The seriousness of the fruit. And you can't talk about branches and fruit and reproducing Christians and soul winning without thinking of first the reality of hell. Hell is a real place. And there are people lost and dying and spending an eternity there. You know, I was talking to Brother Trout on the way home this afternoon. I said, there's no such thing as an easy funeral. I've helped pastor with dozens of funerals since I've been on staff here. And there is no such thing as an easy funeral. But when you're pretty confident that somebody has died and they're spending an eternity in hell, it makes it so much harder. We were talking about Brother Dave Heming, and there's just no doubt that that man was saved. If you've ever spent any amount of time with him, there is no doubt that he, the minute he stopped breathing this afternoon, he was in the presence of Jesus Christ. And what a thought that is. But there are not millions and millions of Dave Hemings out there. There's millions and millions lost and dying and spending an eternity in hell. Hell is real. And the reality of hell should show us the seriousness of producing good fruit. It should show us the seriousness of going out and reaching others for the Lord. The reality of hell. The second thing I have here for the seriousness of the fruit is the restrictions of time. Not only the reality of hell, but the restriction of time. The Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. We are running low on time in Christianity. We are running out of opportunities. And it's not just running out of time as in Jesus is coming soon, though I do believe He is. But that's not just it. There's the reality of losing time because once a door is closed, it's very hard to get back open. So often, we have windows of opportunity. And if we don't take advantage of those windows of opportunity, we lose that time. That's a very serious thing to me. Because so many people are lost and dying and going to hell. But it's not just the restriction of time just with lost people. There's so many other restrictions of our time. There's only so much time we have to serve the Lord here. Brother Dwayne, you only have so many Sunday school classes left. You've got to make each and every one of them serious to produce fruit. It's important because it may be your last one. Pastor's challenge to me for my ordination Sunday was preach every message as if it was your last. It's important to realize that the window of opportunity is very small, especially in today's day and age, and especially in dealing with youth. Try keeping their attention for more than a few moments at a time. Children need constant entertainment. And to try and give them Jesus Christ for any extended amount of time is very difficult. Your window of opportunity is very small. But anymore, it's not just children. So many times I'm dealing with supposed grown adults. And man, if you get them for more than 2 or 3 minutes to look you in the eyes, you've done something spectacular. Your window of opportunity is short. Sometimes God opens the door for you to be able to witness to somebody at a gas station, at a grocery store, wherever it happens to be. If you miss that opportunity, it's gone. You may never see that person again. Not one other person in the world may ever present the gospel to them. And you miss that window of opportunity. Oh, so important. Not only the reality of hell, but the restriction of time. Don't lose opportunities. In this passage of Scripture, it talks a lot about every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. I see not only the reality of hell and the restriction of time, but I also see the risk of punishment. I don't want to be cut out. I don't want God to be looking at Christ and saying, listen, that branch just isn't producing. We're going to cut him off. That's the last thing I want. Man, he saved me from the pits of hell. I'm going to do everything I can for him. He has blessed me beyond measure. I want to do everything I can for him. But if I don't catch the seriousness of bearing good fruit, he's going to cut me out. I'm going to be hewn down, dried up, cast in the fire, gotten rid of. He's done with me. He can't use me anymore here on earth. Many a Christians have died before their time because they quit bearing fruit. Please don't be the Christian risking punishment. The fruit is serious. There's a reality of hell. There's a restriction of time. There's a risk of punishment. I told you I'd be fast. This is the last point I'm going to make tonight. And the seriousness of fruit. Let's just see verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you. What has He spoken unto us? He's been talking to us about the vine and the branches and producing fruit, obeying out of a heart of love. That's what He's been talking to us about, right? These things have I spoken unto you. Produce fruit. Why? That My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Not only the reality of hell, the restriction of time, the risk of punishment, but the reward of joy. Understand, joy is the best part of the Christian life. It really is. Why do you think they call it joy? Because it's enjoyable. It's awesome. But how do you get that joy? That's the seriousness of bearing good fruit. See, Christians miss joy because they miss bearing fruit. Every time I say miss joy, I think of miss joy. They miss bearing fruit. It's the best part of the Christian life. Listen, this word full, this word full is where we get the song. This thought is where we get the song. Runneth over. The cup runneth over, the joy runneth over. This word full means literally filled to the brim, where one more drop causes it to spill over. You have so much joy you cannot contain anymore is what this is saying. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know a whole lot of Christians that actually live with that kind of joy. Do you know what that tells me they're missing? You've been following the message. Somebody's got it. What are they missing? Bearing fruit. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Why is your joy not full? Why are we struggling? Why do we have miserable Christians out there? Listen, I understand that the Christian life is hard, but it's even harder if you don't have joy. And you don't have joy because you're not bearing fruit. The Christian life is a difficult life, but it should be a joyful life. Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the hardships, there should be joy. Now, does that mean you're jumping up and down when you lose a loved one? No. It's not stupidity. It's joy. I can tell you today I was with a family who had joy in the midst of a very difficult circumstance. Brother Trout would attest. It was amazing seeing the peace and joy that came over that family in spite of everything that was going on. Were they laughing and happy about it? No. But you could see the joy of Jesus flowing through that family. And what an amazing testament to what they are doing as a family. But I dare say that as Christians all across the United States, all across the world, we have lost joy. It is tough being a Christian, but it is even tougher being a Christian that doesn't bear fruit, because you miss out on the one thing that makes you truly joyful. The joy of Jesus. Have you lost the joy of your salvation as a Christian? I would challenge you to ask God to restore it today. But I'll tell you, it's going to take work. Because you've got to obey Him out of a heart of love for Jesus Christ in order to get that joy that fills you. Not just momentary pleasures of happiness, but true joy that fills you comes